Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, October 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
investors brace for this morning's reading on inflation.
The International Energy Agency warns of a global recession.
U.S. officials fear their plan to cap Russian oil prices may backfire.
And the deadline approaches for the Bank of England to end its emergency bond buying program.
New York's gun law gets a reprieve from a federal appeals court, plus Russia has hit Ukraine's Kyiv area by Iranian-made kamikaze drones. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Braves and Padres won in the National League playoffs. Yankees and Guardians scheduled to play Game 2 tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Built on advanced technologies and 50 years of innovation, SEI offers asset managers a comprehensive and flexible operations outsourcing platform. Go to seic.com/managers.
And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 15 points, Dow futures up 128, and NASDAQ futures up 20. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 3.91%, and the yield on the two-year, 4.31%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, while we wait for today's inflation report, stocks enter this session at their lowest level since September of 2020. The S&P 500's declined for six straight days now. Victoria Green is Chief Investment Officer at G Squared Private Wealth.
The biggest thing an investor can do is don't panic or don't knee-jerk on data. We've seen wild moves off of some of these data releases or Fed moves, and a lot of times it's a one- or two-day move and comes back to trend. So I would say, like, one day, one week does not a market make. Like, be a little bit patient.
G Squared Private Wealth's Victoria Green says she does not expect the Fed to pivot anytime soon.
Still, Nathan, the Fed will be watching today's inflation data closely. The Consumer Price Index for September comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, and we get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Only minor progress on inflation is forecast, with headline CPI rising at a faster rate in September, while core inflation slows, but only to a still strong level. Housing is the biggest problem. Shelter makes up about a third of the overall basket of consumer prices and an even larger share of the core. Overall rents have only started to stabilize. Some categories should see pullbacks, particularly used cars. Retailers are also discounting to clear out inventory ahead of the holidays. But the ultimate message to the Fed will be, keep raising interest rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Mike. And speaking of interest rates, more big hikes are on the way from the Fed unless there's a significant change in the data. That's according to Fed Governor Michelle Bowman.
If we do not see signs that inflation is moving down, my view continues to be that sizable increases in the target range for the federal funds rate should remain on the table. However, if inflation starts to decline, I believe a slower pace of rate increases would be appropriate.
And those comments from Fed Governor Michelle Bowman suggest she supports another 75 basis point move when officials meet next month.
Well, all eyes are on the Fed, Nathan, but starting tomorrow, earnings come back into play, too. Bank of America reports on Monday, and CEO Brian Moynihan is out with optimistic words ahead of the results. He says consumers are in good shape, and his bank only expects a slight recession in the U.S.
They have this quarter positive real GDP, next quarter just above zero positive, and three straight quarters of negative. And so, effectively, depending what the NBER does, you know, that's a slight recession, but it's shallow.
Brian Moynihan spoke at the Institute of International Finance meeting in Washington. Stay tuned for more from Moynihan on Monday when we speak live with the Bank of America CEO on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, Bank of America only sees a slight recession, Karen. The International Energy Agency is warning about a worldwide contraction. The IEA says OPEC's decision to cut oil production threatens to push prices to levels that tip the global economy into a downturn. And checking prices right now, NYMEX crude is moving higher, up 0.6% or 51 cents at $87.80 a barrel. Brent is higher by 0.7% at $93.11.
Meantime, Nathan, President Biden finds himself walking a tightrope over the world's demand for oil and gas, and that's as the administration considers a price cap on Russian oil. Bloomberg's Amy Morris has a look at the strategy from our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The idea is to keep enough Russian supplies on the global market to prevent a spike in oil prices. But the move by OPEC Plus to slash production by 2 million barrels a day could undermine the plan. Sources tell Bloomberg that administration officials are worried Russia may retaliate by cutting off supplies. Russia President Putin has said he will not sell oil to any nation that participates in the price cap plan. Still, the U.S. is going ahead with it, seen as the best choice among bad options to curb Russia's oil revenues. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thanks. On Capitol Hill, the House January 6th committee is getting ready to present new evidence. Today's hearing will focus on Donald Trump's state of mind the day of the attack at the U.S. Capitol. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
This is the last hearing before the midterms, and the committee is endeavoring to reinforce its contention that Donald Trump remains what they are saying is a clear and present danger to democracy. Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren says what they discovered through their work this summer make clear Donald Trump's intentions, what he knew, what he did, what others did. She says there will be no live witnesses, but they will have testimony from new witnesses. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Meantime, Google has approved Donald Trump's Truth Social app for release in its Play Store. Google had previously declined to distribute the app, saying it hosted violent threats and other content that goes against Google's standards.
In Europe this morning, Karen, it is all about the turmoil in financial markets. The deadline is nearing for the Bank of England to end its bond buying program. Let's go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Investors have been watching this story all week, but tomorrow afternoon, the UK's central bank will finally end its support for the country's bond market. Ahead of that deadline, the government now appears to be at loggerheads with the Bank of England. Asked about any fresh market turmoil, the government's chancellor said that would be a matter for the governor. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. And in corporate news this morning, shares of Applied Materials moving lower. The maker of chip manufacturing equipment is slashing its forecast for the fourth quarter. It says new export regulations will hurt sales to China. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 62 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident headed to JFK, southbound Van Wyck past Linden Boulevard. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A federal appeals judge put on hold a lower court ruling that struck down many of New York's gun bans in public places as constitutional. A judge granted New York Attorney General Letitia James a temporary order preventing an October 6th decision by U.S. District Judge Glenn Sotheby in Syracuse from going into effect. A three-judge panel of the same appeals court must still decide whether to stay Sotheby's decision for the entire appeal process. Abortion providers in New York are seeing such an influx of pregnant women from other states that they are struggling financially to meet demand. Governor Kathy Hochul says the state is giving more than $13 million to organizations that operate clinics throughout New York so they can continue to serve women regardless of where they live.
They include hospital-based providers, independent clinics, as well as many who are receiving state assistance for the very first time because the need is that dire.
Governor Hochul says the state will protect a woman's right to a safe and legal abortion. New York's health commissioner says monkeypox is no longer the threat to the city that it initially was. Dr. Ashwin Vasant.
We have turned a corner that I hope indicates that we now have the upper hand on this outbreak.
Meanwhile, Dr. Vasant says as for polio, traces of the disease were found in wastewater samples across the state, including New York City. For the fourth day in a row, residents of Kyiv were awakened to the sound of air raid sirens as Russian bombardment of Ukraine's critical infrastructure continues. Authorities say that a village was hit overnight by a so-called kamikaze drone, probably supplied by Iran. A Connecticut jury has ordered conspiracy theorist Alex Jones to pay $965 million to the relatives of Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting victims and an FBI agent. They said Jones tormented their lives by promoting the lie that the rampage was a hoax. Robert Parker lost his daughter Emily in the shooting.
I couldn't be more proud to stand here and with all of these people, and I really miss my wife and daughters right now. They can't be here with me.
Robert Parker's daughter was one of 20 children and 6 adults killed in the massacre. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Unusual scheduling in the American League Division Series. Yankees and Guardians with a night off in between the two games at the stadium. Scheduled to resume their series tonight. Rain is in the forecast. If they can't play tonight, they'll play tomorrow with Nestor Cortes going against Cleveland's Shane Bieber. Both NLDS tied at 1. Atlanta shut out the Phillies 3-0 behind Kyle Wright, 21-game winner in the regular season. The Padres beat the Dodgers by the same 5-3 score that L.A. won the opener by. Knicks and Nets getting ready to tip off their seasons next week. The Knicks lost at Indiana. The Nets won in Milwaukee. Ben Simmons acquired last season, but he never played. He is playing now, and while Simmons doesn't score much, last night he had 10 assists, 8 rebounds. Can the Giants keep it going? Off to a surprising 4-1 start, they host Baltimore Sunday as new coach Brian Daboll continues to be impressed by his quarterback, Daniel Jones.
And he comes in, he does a great job with the players around him of leading them, of helping them with the offense. And, you know, each week I think you get a little bit more comfortable. Again, we're 5 weeks into really live competition, so I think you learn a lot about players, not just Daniel, but everybody. And he's done a good job for us.
Jones led the Giants to the upset win over Green Bay. The Jets visit Green Bay Sunday. Aaron Rodgers hurt his thumb when the Giants hit him on the last play of that game in London. He didn't practice, but he is going to face the Jets. As rookie Skylar Thompson did last week, Miami's Tua Tagovailoa remains out with the concussion. The Dolphins are going to start Thompson this week. Big game Sunday night. Dallas at Philadelphia. Cowboys expected to stick with Cooper Rush. He's 4-0 since Dak Prescott's thumb injury. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. S&P futures right now up 17 points. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures are higher by 29 points now. 10-year Treasuries down 2/32, yield 3.90% ahead of the Consumer Price Index. Coming out at 8:30 Wall Street time, we preview next with Sarah House, Senior Economist at Wells Fargo. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, rain and a breeze today with a high near 70 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow and Saturday with highs in the upper 60s. Clouds will increase on Sunday, upper 60s once again. Right now, 62 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Equities extending declines as caution prevails before a highly anticipated U.S. inflation data later today. The dollar is edging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 157, and NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.89%. The yield on the two-year, 4.30%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 52 cents at $87.79 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $5.60 at $16.83.10 an ounce. The euro 0.9723 against the dollar. British pound 1.1128 and the yen 146.79. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, it's down 0.75%. It's at $19,000. The consumer price index at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims. And Walgreens Boots Alliance and BlackRock are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. House Select Committee's members investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol will hold its final hearing today. Members are promising substantial new footage and significant witness testimony. Since the last hearing, multiple members of Trump's cabinet have testified behind closed doors. Millions of Social Security recipients will soon learn just how high a boost they'll get in their benefits next year. The increase to be announced today is expected to be the highest in 40 years, maybe up to 9%. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Capitals 5-2. Baseball's NLDS playoffs. The Braves beat the Phillies 3-0 to even their series at a game apiece. The Padres beat the Dodgers 5-3 to tie their series at 1-1. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and it's not just a boost in Social Security benefits we're waiting to hear about. How much of a boost are we going to get in inflation when the Consumer Price Index comes out in just about 3 hours or so? Joining us now, Sarah House, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Great to speak with you, Sarah. And as we look at the eco screen on the Bloomberg terminal, pretty interesting consensus here from economists that the headline inflation number is expected to tick down 0.2%, while the core is expected to tick up 0.2%. What's your view?
Yeah, so we're looking for a 0.2% gain on the headline. So that's in line with the consensus, and that will help bring the year-over-year rate down from 8.3 to 8.1. And like we've seen the past few months, a big factor driving that is lower gasoline prices. And we did see them tick up towards the end of the month, but for the month on average, they were down. But when we step back from energy prices, we're still seeing very strong momentum in the core component. So we're looking for a slightly stronger gain there than what consensus is expecting. So a 0.5% monthly increase, which would actually push the year-over-year rate on core CPI up to a fresh cycle high of 6.6%.
Now, it sounds like would keep the Fed on course for the 75 basis point rate hike that a lot of Fed speakers have said that they are more than certainly open to.
I think so. I think after the minutes yesterday, the bar is even higher for stepping down to a 50 basis point increase. So we're still looking for a 75 basis point increase, even if you did have somewhat of a downside miss. And I think when you look at the core, there are some signs of softening, particularly in goods prices, but that services component is much slower moving and is looking like that's going to remain fairly strong over the next few months. And so I think the Fed's going to be pretty hesitant to read too much into a softer print today. So they want to see a spate of lower readings, which I think is going to take time to manifest.
How much time do you think it will take for higher interest rates to have some kind of impact on the services component of inflation?
Well, we're starting to see it now, certainly in the housing market, but I think that's going to take time to feed into the actual CPI. So the owner's equivalent rent measure lags what we're seeing in the housing market by almost 15 months. The rental portion of that, it's a little bit shorter, and we have seen rents slow down quite noticeably since the start of the year if you're looking at private sector measures. So I think some moderation in the services side is coming. It'll be helped by the fact that we are seeing at least a slight slowdown in wages. We're going to get some help from just some methodology quirks from things like health insurance here in October. So I think we're getting there, but on the services side, it's only going to be incremental improvement. I think where you could see more meaningful improvement in inflation over the next couple months is likely to be core goods.
Of course, we did get a higher than expected producer price index yesterday. Does that have any read through into what we could get this morning?
Well, I think it's consistent with this general story that services inflation is still where you're seeing the general strength. So we certainly saw that in that other services component, but where we did see softness was in things like transportation and warehousing costs. So that was down for a third straight month. We also saw trade services. So that's a gauge of retail and wholesale margins that had the smallest increase we've seen in months. So I think we are seeing disinflationary pressure coming from the goods sector, but still strength out of the services side.
We got about a minute left here, Sarah. We've heard a number of Fed speakers say that there's going to come a point where we need to sort of wait and see what kind of impact higher interest rates is having. When do you think the Fed gets to that point?
So we think that the Fed's going to remain pretty aggressive here through this year. So looking for a 75 basis point hike in November and then stepping down to 50 in December, which is still historically strong. But when we look at where the Fed funds rate is likely to be a positive versus the core PCE, that's probably more of a fourth quarter, even December event. So that's what's informing our view that we're still going to see some pretty strong rate hikes from the Fed over the next two meetings.
Great to speak with you this morning, Sarah. Thanks for this. Sarah House, senior economist at Wells Fargo, calling for month-over-month core inflation to rise to 0.5%. That's slightly higher than the consensus in the Bloomberg survey. As far as the year-over-year numbers, our consensus calls for 8.1% on the headline level, 6.5% for core CPI. We get the official numbers, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will break them down for you completely here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures right now, ahead of all that, up 0.5%, up 19 points. Dow futures up 152 points, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 36 points. 10-year Treasury little change to the yield, 3.89%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, rainy, breezy today, a high near 70 degrees, upper 60s into the weekend with mostly sunny skies on Saturday, increasing clouds on Sunday. Right now, 62 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher ahead of today's inflation report. The S&P 500 has declined for six straight days, and stocks enter the session at their lowest level since November of 2020. Economist Hugh Johnson tells us it's unclear if we're nearing a bottom.
If we get into a recession in the first and second quarter, which I think we're going to do, that's going to be set up the time at which we're going to start to get better news, or news that the recession is going to end and a recovery is going to begin, maybe news that the Federal Reserve is going to take its foot off the brake. And under those conditions, you'll get a turn in the stock market.
And economist Hugh Johnson says he anticipates a hard landing at a U.S. recession. That's if the Fed holds to its current rate hike path.
Well, the Fed does appear to be sticking to that path, Karen. Minneapolis President Neel Kashkari signaling a lot has to change before the central bank changes course.
The bar for such a change is very high because we have not yet seen much evidence that the underlying inflation, the services inflation, the wage inflation, the labor market, that is yet softening. And so I think we're quite a ways away from anything like that.
Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari made the comments at a town hall in Wisconsin. September CPI readings due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Stick with Bloomberg Radio and television for complete coverage all morning.
Well, another recession call now, Nathan, this time from the CEO of Bank of America. Brian Moynihan says his bank only expects a shallow contraction in the U.S., citing strong U.S. consumers.
The consumers basically have more money in their accounts by multiples than they did pre-pandemic. They're earning more money. Their credit quality is as high as it's ever been. They have more excess capacity on their borrowing than they've had. The delinquencies are very low.
Brian Moynihan spoke at the Institute of International Finance meeting in Washington. Stay tuned for more from Moynihan on Monday when we speak live with the Bank of America CEO on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the other hand, Karen, the International Energy Agency is warning the global economy could enter a recession. That's after OPEC's decision to sharply cut oil production threatens to push crude prices higher, I should say, and they are moving that way now with NYMEX crude up 0.2% at $87.44 a barrel. Brent is higher by 0.3% at $92.73.
And in Washington today, Nathan, President Biden finds himself walking a tightrope over the world's demand for oil and gas. The White House is considering a price cap on Russian oil, but sources tell Bloomberg administration officials are worried Russia may retaliate by cutting off supplies. Russian President Vladimir Putin has said he won't sell oil to any nation that participates in the price cap plan. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 62 degrees in Central Park. Bad accident on Route 3 in Secaucus. We'll tell you about it in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. A federal appeals court allowed New York to continue enforcing its new gun law as it considers a lower court ruling that would block key provisions. The decision from the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals came after a federal district judge in Syracuse declared multiple portions of the law unconstitutional. Attorney General Letitia James says she was pleased the law would stay in effect. Abortion providers in New York State are seeing an influx of pregnant women from other states. Governor Kathy Hochul says the state is giving more money in order to keep up with financial demand.
Today I'm proud to announce $13.4 million of grants going to abortion providers. 50 new organizations, and collectively they operate 127 clinics together.
Governor Hochul says the state of New York will protect a woman's right to a safe and legal abortion. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol will hold its final hearing today. Since the last hearing, multiple members of Trump's cabinet have testified behind closed doors. Ukraine's capital region has been struck by Iranian-made kamikaze drones. Kyiv's regional governor said the strike early today occurred in an area around the capital. Attacks on Kyiv had become rare before the capital city was hit at least four times during Monday's Russian strikes. Meanwhile, NATO defense ministers are meeting again in Brussels today. They're gathered to discuss their ongoing aid to Ukraine in its fight against Russia's invasion. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is saying they're committed to the long haul.
We're going to stay with our efforts to support Ukraine for as long as it takes.
Secretary Lloyd Hall. A Connecticut jury decided that Alex Jones must pay $965 million in damages to families and an FBI agent ravaged by the InfoWars founder's lie that the Sandy Hook Elementary School massacre was a hoax. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, Yankees and Guardians had last night off, scheduled to play game two tonight at the stadium, then have tomorrow off. Yanks are going to stick with a three-man rotation, but if they can't play tonight due to the expected rain and play game two tomorrow, they would have to go to a fourth starter if the series is extended. Yanks, of course, won the opener. Game two starters either tonight or tomorrow, Nestor Cortez and Cleveland's Shane Bieber. In the NLDS, Phillies and Braves sat through a three-hour rain delay in Atlanta and then scoreless until the sixth inning. Atlanta scored three times and won 3-0, only seven hits in the game. It's the Phillies' first loss of the postseason. In L.A., San Diego got home runs from Manny Machado, Jake Cronenworth. Padres beat the Dodgers 5-3. L.A., three solo home runs in the loss. Both these series are tied at one. Preseason NBA, Knicks lost at Indiana. R.J. Barrett scored 21 points, 23 for Kyrie Irving, and the Nets win at Milwaukee. The Islanders begin their season tonight. They host Florida. The Devils play game one at Philadelphia, and the 1-0 Rangers start a road trip tonight in Minnesota. Jets on Sunday take their two-game winning streak to Green Bay, facing Aaron Rodgers. Rob Saleh, the coach of the improved Jets.
I do think we're better than we were here, obviously, but, it still comes back to us, and it's exciting just to be able to go out there and play a championship team, which is what they are, a championship team, Hall of Fame quarterback. But it still comes back to us and perform to the best of our ability.
Packers last Sunday in London blew that big lead and lost to the Giants, who are back home now. They're going for three wins in a row Sunday, taking on Baltimore. Week six begins tonight. It's Washington at Chicago. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
Thank you, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Scott Carr.
While the rest of the rental market has begun to cool off, New York's most expensive apartments got even costlier in September. The median rent on new leases in September was $4,022, down nearly 2% from August and down 3% from the record high set in July. A report from New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli shows New York City's booming tech industry helped offset job losses in other sectors during the pandemic. The report says the tech industry saw growth of 9.4% in 2020, the largest growth since 2012, largely because people became more reliant on technology during the lockdown and working from home. IRS tax data analyzed by the Tax Foundation shows New Jersey is one of 22 states that saw a net loss of adjusted gross income between 2019 and 2020, including a net loss of more than 1,800 taxpayers. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Scott Carr.
Thanks, Scott. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about how Manhattan's priciest apartments keep getting costlier.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The Biden administration is said to be considering a complete ban on Russian aluminum.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that the city comes in 42nd on a list of the 200 best cities for remote workers.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government and the Bank of England at odds, with the governor sticking to the Friday deadline for the end of the emergency bond buying program.
I'm Scott Carr on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting on Microsoft's new app helping workers and managers better balance life in the office and working from home.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Feeling pinched? Sometimes your 401k can help. I'm Alexis Leondis, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. With rents, food prices, and child care costs all rising, coming up with the cash to cover unexpected expenses is becoming more difficult. When interest rates were low, borrowing money to make up for a temporary shortfall was relatively easy and didn't come at such a price. That's changed. Credit card rates are approaching 20%, personal loan rates are north of 10%, and home equity lines of credit can be hard to come by. For some people, reducing retirement contributions temporarily or even borrowing from a 401k may be smarter than piling up high-interest debt. But you have to do it the right way. If you're going to reduce your contribution amount, limit how many months you plan to do it for, and use future raises or bonuses to get back on track. If you have to borrow from your retirement account, make sure you know the rules around repayment. Ultimately, any tweaks to a 401k plan should really be thought of as a stopgap fix. I'm Alexis Leondis. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Futures are moving higher. So are crude prices on a stark warning from the International Energy Agency. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, rainy, breezy today with a high near 70 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow, upper 60s. We'll be in the sunshine Saturday as well, upper 60s. Clouds increase on Sunday. Right now, 62 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Equities extending declines as caution prevails before a highly anticipated U.S. inflation data later today. The dollar edging higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up about 20 points. Dow futures up 154 and NASDAQ futures up 36. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 3.89%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.29%. NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.5% or 40 cents at $87.67 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $5.10 at $16.82.60 an ounce. The euro, 0.9735 against the dollar. British pound, 1.1146. And the yen, 146.78. Bitcoin is at $19,000, down 0.8%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. The American public will get an opportunity to learn more about the attack on the U.S. Capitol later today. This is expected to be the final hearing as the House Select Committee investigating January 6th returns for another hearing today, its first since July. The committee is expected to present Secret Service documents subpoenaed following a report that the agency text messages from the day of the insurrection were deleted. In the NHL, the Bruins beat the Capitals 5-2. In baseball's NLDS playoffs, the Braves beat the Phillies 3-0 to even their series at a game apiece. The Padres beat the Dodgers 5-3 to tie their series at 1-1. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, it's all about inflation this morning. We're also keeping an eye on the oil market. Prices there are edging higher with a new warning that OPEC's production cut announcement could tip the global economy into a recession. Joining us now, Will Kennedy, Senior Executive Editor for Energy and Commodities for Bloomberg News. Will, this was a pretty direct warning that came in overnight from the International Energy Agency. Tell us more about it and your read on the reaction we're seeing in the oil market this morning.
Good morning. Yes, the world is still adjusting to the 2 million barrel a cut that OPEC Plus announced last week. It was a surprise to many people, and it will tighten the oil market. And the argument the IEA is making this morning is that tightening the oil market may drive prices higher. As you said, prices are now settled well above $90 a barrel on the important Brent benchmark, and that will have an effect on economic growth and probably accentuate the slowdown and make it harder to fight inflation, perhaps meaning tighter monetary policy than we would have had without it. So for all those reasons, the IEA revised down its growth forecast for oil consumption next year and made this warning about prospects for the economy.
Yeah, as you say, we are still sort of trying to sort out the implications of this OPEC Plus production cut. I think last time we spoke, we talked about the fact that most OPEC producing nations aren't meeting their quotas anyway. So the 2 million barrel cut is kind of on paper, isn't it? Is this sort of turning into a self-fulfilling prophecy that the IEA is talking about here?
Yeah, it won't be 2 million barrels, but it will be meaningful. So those countries that can cut production in a big way, principally Saudi Arabia, but also the United Arab Emirates, perhaps Kuwait, those trio of Gulf countries that make up the core of OPEC, they will cut production. And I think estimates for the real cut probably look at somewhere between 700,000 to 1 million barrels a day. And in a market which in some ways is already tight, where there isn't a lot of spare production outside that Middle East region, that's a pretty meaningful adjustment, which will probably keep oil prices higher than they would otherwise have been.
I guess adding to these concerns, reporting that we're doing here at Bloomberg News, that the White House is starting to get worried that this push for a cap on prices for Russian oil could end up backfiring for them. How could all these developments play out in the oil market?
Well, the price cap was a solution that Washington, especially the U.S. Treasury, had been pushing as a way to punish Russia for its invasion of Ukraine, to cap Russia's export revenues from oil without constraining the exports of Russian oil and thereby causing a really bad spike in prices over the winter. Now, what that idea didn't perhaps take account of is Russian reaction, and it also seems OPEC reaction. So one of the things going on in the background of OPEC policymakers' mind is the idea of a price cap, no matter what the rights and wrongs are about punishing Russia, the very idea of a price cap is a fairly extraordinary move by consuming countries in the oil market and how the oil market operates. And there are many people in OPEC who are not comfortable with that idea. And then we look at Russia, and Russia clearly said last week that if the price cap comes into play, they may well retaliate by cutting their production. So there you see that there is a little bit of concern at the price cap, a policy designed to keep oil flowing, to cap Russian revenues while making sure that international prices don't get out of hand, mm-hmm. may not have that impact and may politically contribute to a scenario where we get more constraints in supply and higher prices.
Yeah, lots of bright red warnings for the oil market as we watch green as far as the prices go. Will Kennedy of Bloomberg News, thanks for this. Great getting your insights this morning. And just checking the prices now, Karen, NYMEX crude is higher by 0.5% at $87.70 a barrel. As Will mentioned, Brent is above 90 at $92.98.
Well, Nathan, it's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Morgan Stanley Unit and other previous owners of Topps Friendly Markets will face claims that they rendered the grocery chain insolvent while paying dividends to themselves. Zotop Business, an e-commerce fashion retailer, will pay nearly $2 million to New York State for mishandling a 2018 data breach. Personal information on more than 45 million shoppers was exposed. Royal Caribbean Cruises settled claims by a honeymooning couple who were burned while on an excursion to an active volcano that erupted during their trip.
Bloomberg Law, everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Now another legal story we're watching. The Department of Education has not even put out the application to receive student loan forgiveness yet, but there are already five lawsuits challenging President Biden's student loan relief plan. Two of those lawsuits are being brought by Republican attorneys general in Arizona, Arkansas, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Nebraska, and South Carolina. But the first hurdle for the plaintiffs starts before a judge can even get to question of whether Biden has the power to forgive billions of dollars in student debt. The plaintiffs have to show they are standing or that the program will have them in a harm them rather in a concrete way. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Mark Kantrowitz, an expert in student loans and financial aid.
It's hard to keep track of the lawsuits because they keep on coming. How tough will it be for the opponents to get over the standing issue that they'll be harmed by the plan?
Well, I think that is the key issue, that the plaintiffs are going to have a lot of difficulty demonstrating that they have the legal standing to file a lawsuit. First of all, you have to demonstrate that you were harmed. And there are certain categories of harm that don't establish legal standing. For example, taxpayers do not have the legal standing to file a lawsuit against the federal government because of a 2007 U.S. Supreme Court ruling. And also, borrowers who do not qualify for student loan forgiveness can't demonstrate that they were harmed because you're not getting something. That doesn't mean you're worse off.
Arizona says that this plan will harm the state's economy, increase its cost of borrowing, and limit the ability of the state attorney general's office to recruit legal talent. That sounds like they're really reaching.
Well, they're kind of throwing the entire kitchen sink at this, hoping that something makes it through to demonstrate legal standing. Because once one of these lawsuits demonstrates legal standing, then the arguments they can bring about the legality of the president's plan are much more powerful. And I believe that if they can make it to the U.S. Supreme Court, the president's student loan forgiveness plan will ultimately get blocked. But the challenge is in demonstrating legal standing. You have to establish that the harm was direct and not speculative, not vague. And most of these lawsuits don't satisfy that. Now, with the six state attorney general lawsuit, they're trying to argue that the state is harmed because one aspect of the president's plan was allowing borrowers in the FFEL program to consolidate their loans into the direct loan program. And that would then reduce the loan volume that the state manages and services in the FFEL program, therefore causing financial harm. And that would have been a good argument, except the U.S. Department of Education responded by saying, okay, FFEL program borrowers are no longer eligible. And this demonstrates a flawed legal strategy in the five lawsuits that have been filed to date, which is they jumped the gun. They decided to file a lawsuit before the U.S. Department of Education had given any loans or even published the student loan forgiveness application.
And as Mark Kantrowitz, an expert in student loans and financial aid, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And we have our top stories straight ahead on a day when futures are on the rise. This is Bloomberg.